This is Choices with Judy Mario. Thank you for listening today as we talk about happiness is a choice. Can you make a choice to be happy? A lot of people don't think so. They think it just happens or it doesn't happen. But I believe you can. You can make the choice to be happy. And yet you ask, how can we be happy and passionate every day when we are dealing with the stresses of life? Well, your world is what you make it through your thoughts, words, and attitudes. If we learn to focus on the positives and stop worrying, do what the title of Richard Carlson's book says, don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff. Worrying doesn't accomplish anything. Worrying simply strangles our creative abilities and keeps us from being able to look for solutions to our problems and our challenges. So, yes, we can make a choice to be happy. It's all in our mind. You know, our thoughts create our feelings, and our feelings create our behaviors, and our behaviors bring about the results that we have in our lives. And so we have to start with our thoughts. And, you know, we are never inactive in our thoughts. We're either going forward or we're going backwards. And most people don't understand this. They reach a certain point in life and they stop making any effort to learn, to develop, or to progress. And it's important for you to realize that you can always go further. You can always learn more. You can always do more. You can always be more. And as Napoleon Hill once said, if you can conceive it and believe it, you can achieve it. When you expand your thoughts, you will do and you will have greater things. You can start by turning off that television or the radio for at least 20 minutes a day and spend the time in silence by yourself. Put some positive thoughts in your head. Do some affirmations. An affirmation is a statement where you say, I am, and then you add a positive word to it. So, I am happy. That's an affirmation. Put that positive thought in your head. You see, your subconscious doesn't care what you put into it. It will respond to any thought it receives. So focus on your biggest goal and mentally see yourself achieving it or having it. And if happiness is your biggest goal, that's a good goal. If you will just affirm on a daily basis, I am happy, I am peaceful, I am successful, it will happen for you. It will prove that your life has very few limits. When you program your mind with positive thoughts, what you're doing is realigning your body chemistry and you're making yourself healthier and happier. When you think and behave in a positive manner, you not only cause others to enjoy the experience of being around you, you keep yourself energetic and you make your own life more exciting. When I lived in South Africa, I often wondered how people could come to work clean and happy without even having indoor plumbing or running water or heat or air conditioning in their homes. In fact, most of the homes of many, many, many of the people in South Africa didn't have flooring or windows. They were just little shacks that were made of tin or cardboard or black plastic trash bags. I mean, it was amazing how many people had actually stretched black plastic trash bags over boards, and that was made kind of a lean-to, and that's where they lived. And I knew many of these people had to walk miles and often stand out in bad weather for long periods of time to catch taxis to come to work. And now, taxis in South Africa were not like what we call taxis in America. They were actually vans that were designed to seat about 9 people, but 16 people would cram into them. And many people had to transfer these taxis more than once, and sometimes they were dropped off at points that still left them with miles and miles to walk to get to places of work. And yet they would come through the door with smiles on their faces, and I could often hear them singing as they worked. And I was always amazed at how they could be so happy in spite of their circumstances, because at that time it was the time of apartheid. And apartheid in South Africa meant that, you know, the black people and the white people were kept separate. And black people had to live in a specific part of town, and they were not allowed to come out of that part of town unless they had a pass on their body. And sometimes, you know, if they did, they could even be arrested or put in jail, and for no other reason than the color of their skin. And so, you know, how could people be happy in spite of those kind of circumstances where they had to live? And I asked one of the women about it, because she was an African woman with whom I worked, and she always seemed so happy. And she told me that she could feel within herself a unity of the Spirit of God, and that God makes all things right, and that God showed her the best out of all her of her experiences, and guided her and provided her with her daily needs. And she said that gave her the determination to be the best that she could, and the joy of becoming more and more every day. Wow. That's in spite of circumstances, yes, you can be happy. You just have to make up your mind to be. And that's difficult for many of us. So many people think that their happiness lies with nice homes or clothes or cars or other material possessions. And yes, I think those things can make our life easier. In fact, I know they can. And they can make our lives more comfortable. But I don't believe they necessarily make us happy. I mean, you and I have all known people who are almost, they have everything that money can buy, and still they are miserable. Why do they choose to be miserable? I don't understand why people actually choose, when they have everything that they possibly could want, everything their hearts desire, and they still choose to act and look miserable. Well, it's because happiness is a way of looking at life. And if you look at life and you feel like life hasn't done well by me, God didn't give me all the things I wanted or all the things I expected, then you're probably going to be unhappy. It's happiness is a decision. It's the way we decide to look at our lives. And then it becomes a habit. I was attending a seminar one day, observing another presenter. I wanted to learn some of the things, the way that she did them. And I noticed a woman sitting about in the third row with her arms folded tightly across her chest and this terrible scowl on her face. And she sat like that all morning. And at the break, the presenter, Carol, went over to the woman and said to her, "Did you come to get anything in particular today?" The woman did not change her body language or her facial expression one bit and curtly said, "I'm fine." So Carol continued, "Well, if there is anything you think of that you might like me to cover, just let me know." And the woman again said, "I'm fine." And this went on, with Carol trying to get the woman to be a bit more pleasant and the woman continuing with her curt, "I'm fine" answer. And then I heard Carol say, "Well then, why don't you tell your face?" The woman burst out laughing. I was in shock. After the seminar, I confronted Carol and I said, "Wow, you were so lucky that that woman laughed. How could you say something like that to someone in your audience? You know, audience members are our customers. I can't believe you said that." And Carol replied, "I don't know. It started in my feet. It just worked its way up my body. And before I knew it, it was out of my mouth. And I don't have a rewind button. I couldn't take it back." Well, later when I was thinking about this, it dawned on me how often many of us forget to tell our faces we are okay. We get so caught up in our daily chores and our daily challenges that we may speak to someone or answer a question without even adjusting our faces. We need to be more aware of what our faces are telling others and change our body posture, our demeanor, and our facial expression to look like that of a happy person. It's called acting as if. Or it could be called fake it until you make it. The very act of changing to a more positive outward expression will make us feel better inwardly. If you will stand, sit, walk, and put a facial expression on your face like a happy person, you'll be a happy person. You'll learn to look on the bright side. Remember this. Remember this. Our subconscious part of our minds is the place where our memories are stored, and our present happiness is very much influenced by our memories. And if we do things today that make us feel happy, content, peaceful, or joyful, this will increase our happy memories. And the more happy days we have, the more happy memories we create. And the more happy memories we have, the more happy days we create. See, what goes around comes around. It's called the happiness cycle. And the more you do it, the easier it gets. As children, most of us were told by an adult at one time or another that we should look on the bright side. Were you told that? I was. Look on the bright side. Well, sometimes that's not so easy to do. And some situations just don't seem to have a bright side, do they? In most situations, though, there is at least something good we can learn from it. We might have to really, really look for it, but it's there. And most successful people believe that everything happens for a reason. You can look on the bright side because that simply means to look for what's right and what you can learn and realize that things could be worse. And believe me, they can. I have people say, well, I don't know how things could get any worse. Well, they can. And very often it seems like things come, you know, like when you're having a bad day, you just get one thing after another, and or a bad period in your life when just one thing after another keeps happening and you think, wow, it can't get any worse, but then it does. So what I want you to do is stop for a minute and think about the times in your life when you were the happiest. And I'm not talking about events such as receiving an award or getting married or graduating or even getting a divorce where you exclaim, this is the happiest moment of my life. I'm talking about expanded periods of time in your life when you felt content, joyful, cheerful, or even blissful. Think about that. Just take a minute and think about that. Thank you for joining me today. This is Judy Morio, and we are talking about happiness is a choice and how to make the choice to be happy. You're listening to Choices. That's the name of this show. And you can learn more about me and the products I offer, which can help you make your life even more successful, if you go to www.judymorio.com. That's www.judimorio.com. Thank you for joining me today. Now, I gave you a minute to think about, when was the happiest time of your life? And like I said, that's not an event, but a period of time. And let's think about it. Wasn't it when you were doing something like when you were participating purposefully in life? When you act purposefully, you're putting faith into action. You're going after your goals, or you're doing something that makes life better for yourself or for others. When you put your faith into action, you're giving up uncertainty, you're giving up doubt, you're giving up fear. Years ago, I started my own business. It was called Universal Models, and I only had $2,000. And I knew in my heart that I would have a successful business. I was going after my goals and my dream. Uncertainty and doubt and fear never entered my mind. I knew the city of Las Vegas needed a legitimate model agency, and I was positive I could make that happen. I knew conventions needed dependable personnel who could work in the exhibits as salespeople, hostesses, receptionists, and spokesperson. I knew that the movies filmed in Las Vegas would need extras. I knew beauty pageants needed to be run in a legitimate manner, assuring that the contestant with the most points was the one who became the contest winner. Most of all, I knew I could organize all of this and make it happen. I knew models, actors, and other part-time personnel needed to be paid as soon as possible after completing their work. Well, I did it all, and guess what? It was one of the happiest times of my life. I loved my business, and I loved the people with whom I dealt. So participate fully in life. Get yourself into a project and get busy. Or how about this? Was one of the times you were really happy when you were being creative? Now, creativity requires playfulness, fun, humor, daydreaming, and letting go of negative programming. Boisterous laughter is energy producing and can have the same beneficial effect as running. Laughter and humor are also beneficial for adjusting and reducing major life stresses. When we increase our energy, reduce our stress, and use our natural instincts, we free ourselves from limited thinking, which allows us to see the bright side. My friend Jill graduated from college, and she owed a large balance on her student loans. She brainstormed all of the legal ways she could make a lot of money fast. She had just gotten a great education, so she decided she had to use it. And she came up with a creative idea. Audition to be on game shows. Well, why not? She had the education. She had the information. Why not audition? And guess what? She was actually selected to be a contestant on 3 game shows the following year. And she won a total of $52,000. And that was exactly the amount she needed to pay off the balance on her school loans. By taking the time to think about possible solutions, Jill came up with a creative answer to get herself out of debt and relieve herself of her stress. Do you think that made her happy? Well, it certainly did. Or you might have been real happy when you felt like you were achieving something. When you feel like you have brought something to a successful conclusion, made good use of your time, and marked another item off your bucket list, you boost your self-esteem and your self-confidence. It's very important that you feel like you have a reason for living, and that helps you to be happier. When you use your creativity, you have a commitment, and you have caring. One of my sisters, Lois, was a very, very good artist, but she didn't have the same talent as my other sisters. My other sisters were really a lot more talented, but Lois wanted to be an artist. She wanted to be it so bad that she went back to school and she studied and she took art classes and she attended art shows, painted pictures. She went to school at night. She studied art, art history, art education, and eventually she earned her master's degree in art. And she worked as a graphic artist and eventually became a very, very successful artist. And she even designed all kinds of insignias that people wore on their uniforms. And she painted the ceiling of a church in Houston. But then her son suffered a severe brain injury from a major motorcycle accident. And after going through all that, she took an interest in other children who had been brain injured, and she started a foundation and taught art classes to these children. And for the next 10 years, up until her death, that's what she did. She worked with these children to bring new meaning, self-confidence, and self-respect to their lives. And she was passionate about her art and her purpose. And teaching these children something that she loved and helping them develop self-esteem gave her a purpose. And that was the healthiest time and the happiest time of her entire life. You see, because she was achieving something and she was helping others. So maybe you want to do something along that line. Maybe serve your community in some way. When you do something you feel improves the lives of people around you and you feel right about it, it'll bring you contentment and joy and happiness. You are listening to Judy Mario at Choices, and I'd like very much for you to know that I always want to talk about what you want to hear about, and so it's very, very important to me that you go to judymorio.com, that's JUDIMOREO.com, and send me a message telling me what you want to hear, what you'd like me to talk about, what you'd like me to share with you. I am the author of the book, You Are More Than Enough, Every Woman's Guide to Purpose, Passion, and Power. And I can discuss those subjects. And all of us need to know that we are more than enough. I think so many of us underestimate ourselves. We have a tendency to do that, to underestimate ourselves and overestimate other people. And so go to judymorio.com and let me know what your needs are, what you want to hear, what I can share with you. I'd be more than happy to do that. Thank you. And today we're talking about happiness and how happiness is a choice. And one of the things that can make us happy is when we are using our talents and our abilities to our full extent. Now, talents and abilities are natural endowments. In many cases, we didn't have to work to get them. We were born with them. They were powers and gifts. And that's why talented people are often referred to as gifted. When we use our natural talents, we are being ourselves, and we are being who we were meant to be and not the person someone else thinks we should be. It brings us joy to be ourselves. When I was a child, my mother gave me a small framed copy of a poem entitled I'm Happy Being Me. And I keep that poem on my desk right here by me all the time because it reminds me that I should be happy being me. Here's how the poem goes. It says, imagine how happy and free I could be if I took me a little less seriously, if I'd laugh at my faults every once in a while and accept my mistakes with a shrug and a smile, if I'd take little setbacks and failures in stride and remember successes with pleasure and pride. Imagine how happy and free I could be if I did all I could to enjoy being me. The anonymous writer really clarified for me what I needed to do to be happy. From her poem, I learned that even though certain life circumstances may not be good, we can do something about them. We can change our attitudes. We can do something positive. We can choose to be happy, and if we do, we'll be free of negative influences and baggage. This little frame, old, tattered, that sits right here on my desk today, reminds me this day and every day what I need to do to maintain my happiness. A couple of years ago, I went through a bout with cancer, and that's a real shock when someone tells you that you've got cancer. I always thought cancer was a death sentence, and when the doctor said, you have cancer, I was like, no, not me. I don't get cancer. No, other people get cancer. Cancer doesn't run in our family. It's not something I get. And I went through that cancer experience, and it was scary, and there were times that it was very, very hard. But I had some really good support from my minister and some friends and a wonderful naturopathic doctor who encouraged me not to do chemo and radiation, but to change my lifestyle. And I did. I did a drastic lifestyle change. And I want to tell you that during making that change and going through all of that, I found myself to be happier than I had been in years. I had a purpose. I had a big purpose. I wanted to get well. And I changed the way I ate. I changed the way I slept. I changed the hours of sleeping. I worked hard every single day. I continued to work at my job and doing the things that I do through the whole period of time. But I found strengths that I didn't know I had. And I visualized what I would look like when I came out on the other side. And I pursued it with passion. I have to tell you, I did everything the doctor told me to do. He said to take art lessons. I took art lessons. I didn't even know I had any artistic ability. My sisters and my brother had all been artists and professional artists. And I never thought that I could do any of that. And so my doctor said, you have to go and take art lessons. I thought, this man has lost his mind. And what has that got to do with health anyway? Well, one of the things I found out was that my art lessons was like therapy. In fact, it was better than any therapy that I could have possibly had because I sat in the classroom in the art class, and I would get so lost into the painting and get so involved in my painting that I didn't think about my troubles. I didn't think about having cancer. I didn't think about the fact that I might die. I concentrated on painting my pictures, and I would get lost in this new world. And that's when I found that there are so many things that we can do to be happy. I've been a workaholic. I've been working all my life just trying to survive and make money and support my family. And then all of a sudden, I couldn't do all of those things for a while, and it was like, okay, well, I'm going to keep working, but I'm also going to do everything the doctor tells me. And, boy, I pursued that art with a passion, and I painted pictures. I painted so many pictures in that 2.5 years when I was going through my cancer treatments, and I learned, you know, one of the things I really learned in those quiet moments of painting those pictures, I learned how to listen to my heart. And that's what we all need to do. We need to take time and set some time aside and really listen to ourselves. What is it that we really, really want? And watch for opportunities and choose to be happy and tell our face and get out there and participate in life and believe we can do what it is that we want to do. You know, life is what it is, and it's up to us to make the best of what we've been given. Even though you may not have the resources or the circumstances you believe you need to improve your life, start with what you have and build a foundation that will allow you to find the resources and change your circumstances. Change doesn't usually happen all at once. It is a process of elimination, and it's a process of addition. So we eliminate and we add until we find the desired direction for our life. And one of the things that was hard for me, and it's hard for a lot of people, that we need to do if we're going to be happy is to give up blame. Blame, yes. Blame shifts the responsibility of our lives and our happiness, making it someone else's responsibility. You know, we think it's their fault. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. They didn't hold up their end of the bargain. Cost too much. They talked me into it or out of it. They prevented me from doing what I wanted to do. The truth is, you took the easy way out. You did what you wanted to do at that moment. Maybe you did it because you didn't think about the consequences, or maybe you chose to buy something you couldn't afford instead of sticking to your budget. Perhaps you were avoiding an argument, or you were scared of the alternative. Whatever the reason was, you need to face that your life is your responsibility. Your happiness is your responsibility. No one else can do that for you. You have to do it for yourself. Another thing you can do in order to be happier is to stop making excuses. Making excuses is another way we shift responsibility. Instead of blaming people, we blame things or circumstances. I didn't get it done because the copy machine was broken. Or I couldn't get the repairman out of here. Or I couldn't get someone to come and look at the machine until next week. Well, perhaps you could take a different route. Perhaps you could take the machine to them. Perhaps you could take your work to a print shop and have it copied. Well, my business partner was working on an important project one night, and her copier broke, and it was like midnight, and there were no print shops open. And she even called the printer at home and explained the situation to him, and he came in early the very next morning and copied all of her work for her so she would have it in time for her program. Now, had he not answered his phone at midnight, what would she have done? Well, she probably could have driven 85 miles to the next town where there was a 24-hour copier, but there is always a way. You've heard that old saying, where there is a will, there is a way. So stop making excuses. You can be happy if you want to. And another way to get happy is to accept responsibility. You know, when we pursue our dreams, often the practical side of us says one thing while the emotional, mental, and psychological or spiritual side says disregard the practical side and go for what you want. We tend to believe we can't follow our hearts or pursue our dreams and still be responsible, but that is erroneous thinking. You know, Nicholas Sparks, the author, worked as a pharmaceutical salesman while he wrote his first novel, The Notebook. He had a family and responsibilities, and he didn't shirk that in order to do his writing. He did both at the same time, and he got a $1 million advance for his very first novel. So accept the responsibility for your own happiness. You can make it happen. Happiness is a choice. This is Judy Morio. This is Choices. Thank you for listening today as we talked about happiness is a choice. You can reach me at judymorio.com. And remember, you are always more than enough.